Good morning, fathers.
Good morning.
Exodus 20:12 tells us, says that we are to honor our fathers and mothers, and that's what we're going to do today. We're here to honor all fathers that are here. You're very special to your family, and so we're honoring you this day. But before we get started, I'd like to ask Brother Keith if he would come up and have prayer before we get started.
Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful, Lord, for this another day, another opportunity we have to come to assemble together in your house. Lord, as we come today to honor our fathers, we thank you for the fathers in this church. We thank you for the examples they are, and they will continue to be with your help. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you will bless them today. Lord, I just pray you help them in their leadership, in their home. Lord, you would give them wisdom, give them knowledge they need, Lord, to apply with circumstances they had to face during these days we live in. Dear God, I just pray now, Lord, you would bless them in a very special way. May this be a very special day for them. Lord, bless all the men in our church and help us all, Lord, to be what you want us to be and bless this church. Thank you, Sister Laura. Bless her today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Ennis, would you come forward, please? Pastor Ennis? On behalf of the church, we'd like to give you this in appreciation. This certifies and presented to you, Pastor Charles Ennis, for your grateful appreciation for the example that you have shown as a father and as a pastor of our church this day, June the 15th, 2014, from Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor, for being the leader you are, the pastor you are, and the father example you've been to us here at Fellowship Baptist Church.
Thank you, brother.
Next, we're going to have Brandy and the little kids. They're going to sing a special song for y'all. Okay, now next we got Betty Britt. She's wrote a poem about the fathers, and also she's got some cute little things about the little patch of pirate kids.
Well, those wonderful children, you know, they really do love their fathers, and so I just decided to ask the teacher if she would just ask them a few questions and just see what their answers were. So the first question is, how old is your dad? And this is from Derek and Haley Hamlick, and both said, that was the answer. My dad is really strong. He could lift a baby. Well, if you know that family, there's three of them. So my dad's job is just working. My dad's favorite food is nothing. And my dad is really strong. He can lift a door. Then from Danielle Henderson, how old is your dad? Same response, don't know. My dad's favorite food, bananas. My dad really loves to drive his car. I love my dad because he loves me. From Vicki Noel, how old is your dad? Don't know, maybe 40? My dad is really strong. He can lift a door and he can use hammers and screws. My dad's job is he drives the bus. My dad's favorite food is beans. My dad, he really loves to hug me. I love my dad because I love giving him a kiss before bedtime. Valerie Smith, how old is your dad? I don't know. My dad is really strong. He can lift a heavy toolbox. My dad's job, driving a bus. Don't know what my dad's favorite food is. I love my dad because he can juggle. Alexis Moss, how old is your dad? 40. My dad is really strong. He can lift me. My dad's job is he works on computers and he helps others. My dad's favorite food, cookie and cream Pop-Tarts. We know the secret now. My dad really loves to rescue me from high places. I love my dad because he loves me. Evelyn McFarlane, how old is your dad? He's only 9. My dad is really strong. He can lift a heavy box. My dad's job is to go to work. My dad's favorite food is peas. My dad really loves to change diapers. I'm glad to know that, David. You got some things to teach these other fathers. I love my dad because he does stuff with me. Preston Hanchy, how old is your dad? Only 5. My dad is so strong, he can lift just an apple. My dad's favorite job is to pick up my toys. My dad's favorite food is jelly beans. My dad really loves to cook his own food. Shannon, I love my dad because he loves me, my mommy, and Ethan. Serena Langdon, how old is your dad? I don't know, he's just old. My dad is so strong, he can lift a refrigerator. My dad's job is to work on stuff. My dad's favorite food is chips. My dad really loves to just play with me. I love my dad because he's my daddy. So then, you know, you get to the older children, and you think about things they tell you and everything. So here you go, Dad. This is from your children. Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and to them we do not sing their praises as often as we should. So, Dad, today I say to you these phrases. We know the reason that you aspire for fortune and success is to give your children more things, which brings us kids great happiness. Dads are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolades of praise. So since you've had me, Dad, I've noticed you've lost your youth, you've lost your hair, and what's left has turned gray. Your money's all gone because you say I spend all your pay. But to who knows where, but hey, you've lost a lot, it's clear to see. But cheer up, Dad, you've still got me. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, next, I've got a person to come up and say a few words. This person was raised in the church. He was a bus child, got saved, and he moved on up, and now he's in the young adult class. And his mother got saved, and she's in heaven now. And so I asked him if he would say a few words about his stepdad, Phil Brown. So, Marty, if you will, come up at this time.
Phil helped me. I helped him on the bus. He'd take me to work. Have Fridays. All of the day.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, next is a lady that I have asked to come up and say something about her father. I would like to say a few things about this lady before she does. She's a great inspiration to me. She always has a smile on her face. I don't think I've ever seen her sad. And I love to hear her talk about her father. He sounded like he was a wonderful Christian dad. And so I asked her if she would come and say a few words. She says, well, I will, but I'll be so nervous. I said, well, come on up. I'm nervous, too. So, Miss Hassel.
Well, happy Father's Day. It is wonderful to be here to just tell you a little bit about my dad. I wish every one of you had a home like I had when I was growing up. It was a wonderful place. Anytime I went anywhere with the band or anywhere, I always couldn't hardly wait to get back home. There was never any fussing in my house, and our neighbors that we had when I was growing up would tell you that they never heard my mom and dad fuss. They never heard them fuss at us. And you say, well, she got away with a lot. No, I didn't, because he had a way of looking at you. And if you didn't straighten up, you would hear, Marion, go pick me a switch. He didn't fuss, but he carried through with what you knew was coming. And I was so dumb, I always went and picked the best switch. I've learned that. I was trying to please him, I was going to get a spanking. But he was just a blessing to me. He was a man of God. He was after God's own heart. He wanted to know the will of God, the word of God. And it was not something that you went to church to hear. He was a hardworking man. And he, just a down-to-earth, hardworking man. He was the head electrician for the Robertson Company. They had two meals, hotels, several other things. But Daddy was head of those. And he'd come in greasy every day, come in singing every day. If he'd had a good day, we'd hear him yodeling. He loved yodel. He was a bear hunter. The farmers around the Dismal Swamp, when it was dry, the bears would come in their fields, eat the crops, and he'd call Dad and he'd say, come, bring some men, I need your help. And those men were act like they were tickled to go. So I wanted to go too, but I never did get to go. And he built his own boats. He was a fisherman. He was a songwriter. He sang on the radio twice a week with Paige Harris and his Blue Ridge Buddies, and sang the songs that he wrote. And on Sunday afternoons when he was out there picking and playing and yodeling on the front porch, I remember Bill Monroe, Slim, some of the others would come by, and they'd just pick and play. And even the neighbors, they'd just sit out on the porch and just listen. And it was just like an everyday thing at our house. Nowadays, I don't see a lot of what I saw in my dad. But when I was growing up, he was just Dad. And didn't seem to be a whole lot. The kids every now and then would ask me, say, why did your dad do this? Dad's life changed when he had a son. And the doctor was Jewish. And he told him, he said, Mr. Harris, when you bring him back to be circumcised, I want only you to come. I want you to bring him. So Dad told him he would. When Dad got home, he was very shaken. Mom asked him what was wrong, and he said, the doctor just witnessed to me about the Jews being circumcised unto the Lord. And it really changed his life. He started giving out Bible verses for my friends to learn. And I thought all that was over with. And a month before Dad died, I came home and he said, you know, I'd like to go to Hardee's. I said, well, why not let me drive you? So I took him to Hardee's and walked in the door, and all the ones that were in the kitchen and behind the counter came up and said, Mr. Harris, I want you to hear my Bible verse. And I'm thinking, Bible verse? Said, you hadn't been in a while. Where have you been? Can I say my Bible verse now? And he said, I want you to meet somebody. This is my oldest daughter. So I felt very important. Everybody knew him. And so that just kind of made me feel good. But they said, listen, can you listen now? And Daddy listened to their Bible verses, and he gave them another one to learn. I thought when I got married, all of that stopped. I don't know why I thought that, but a child's mind, I thought that would stop. He kept right on to the time that the Lord called him home, was telling people about the Lord. And it was a different way. You could go to the gas station with him, and he would tell them there, give somebody there a Bible verse to learn. And when he went back, he'd ask them about it. Some of them wouldn't learn them. Some of them did. And some of them looked for him every week when he was go by, whether it was a storekeeper or somebody that worked there. It was just something that he did. My sister took my dad to Richmond, Virginia. And Daddy never wasted money. He was always hardworking. I didn't know we ever needed any. I never had a need for any money. But he had this thing about fussing. There was no fussing in our home. And if he saw somebody fussing, you'd hear him break out into a yodel. And usually that would just kind of calm things over. They went to this nice restaurant, and it was really nice. And this man came in drunk, and he kept getting worse to his wife. She was to the point of crying. When she started crying, Daddy came out with this song he used to sing to us after our company had left on Sundays. I can't sing, but you can get a gist of it. It says, "Taters never did taste good with chicken without chicken on the plate. So I'd take an old cold tater and wait." Now, he sang that whole song in that restaurant. Not a pin could be heard, Carol said. And when he got through singing, that man had forgot to fuss with his wife anymore. But he had that knack of being able to calm things down without saying a lot. I mean, he did some things. Carol thought they were going to get thrown out of the restaurant, but they weren't. And I just want to share one thing that has really blessed my heart. My daughter Joy picked up some kind of virus or something, but the hospital called me from Wilson and said, "Miss Hassel, Joy's husband's out of town. Nobody's here from the family, and we've got a bad situation. We cannot hold her vital signs up." And I said, "What about the baby?" They said, "Oh, don't worry about the baby. The baby's not going to make it. She's not been pregnant that long, so we're just not making any plans for the baby. No doctors, nothing." I got on the phone, called my dad. He was at church, and they went and got him. And I told him, I said, "Daddy, they're worried over Joy. The doctor does not know if she's going to make it because her vital signs are not up. And they're not planning to get a doctor for the baby." He said, "It looks like it's going to be born, but they're not making any plans for it." So he went back into church, could not get in that front seat. He was an elder. He'd get back up. And the preacher called on him and said, "Mr. Harris, what's wrong?" And Daddy told him, he said, "I've got a granddaughter that they're expecting to die, and we need to pray. I need everybody in this church come to the altar and pray." The choir director, the organist, the piano player, all the members in the choir, everybody in that church got up and got on their knees at the altar. And they said since then, when I talked with people, they said that was one of the most moving services they've ever had in that church. And I grew up in that church, and I remember seeing one or two go to the altar, but not the whole church. When the baby was born, she was not quite a pound and a half. And when she was in there, I think, in the hospital 6 months, waiting for her to get big enough to get out of the hospital. But she didn't weigh much more than that when they took her home and they took her back to the church. The preacher stood up there and held her in one hand. She wore Barbie clothes. And if you'll see her come in, she comes every now and then because she loves our preacher. He prays. And she can't walk. She can't use her hands. She can't eat. But she is one of God's workers. She can witness to people, get them to do things I can't. She has gotten grown men to sing "Jesus Loves Me" that don't sing in their church. she has gotten grown men to pray. It said they don't pray in their church, but they would for Jessica. And I just praise the Lord that we get a chance every now and then to meet somebody. If you've got your Bibles, if you're tuned in to 20, tune in. Turn over to 22, 21. When my dad died, Mom gave me his Bible. And this is it. And on the very back page, I go through it. It's got marks all over it. It's got sticker pages. On the very back page, it said, my daddy wrote this. It says, my name page, last page, last book, last verse. And on that last verse, he signed page underneath it. And it says, may the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I got that after he had died. It was very humbling to think how much he accomplished. When we think we can get out there and do and go and be. And he was just my dad when I was growing up. Thank you for letting me come.
Okay, now we have some special gifts to give out to. First of all, I want to know the father that has been coming to fellowship the longest time. If you have been here, are we 46 years old, Pastor? If you've been here 46 years other than the pastor, raise your hand. 46 years. No one? 45 years. 44 years. I know there's got to be somebody. 43 years. 42 years, 41 years, 40 years. Cooper, you've been here 40 years, I know. You haven't?
I've been here longer than that.
You've been here longer than that? Okay, give that one. Does not like to speak up. All right, now the father that came to the church, the fatherest this morning, if you come 10 miles or more, raise your hand. 10 miles or more. Okay, David, how many miles you came?
25.
Brother Money, you didn't come that far? Okay, Lisa, give that to David. All right, the father that has the most children and grandchildren that are here. Quickly count them in your head. Children and grandchildren that are here this morning. If you have 10... or more, raise your hand. 9, 8, 7. Brother Alfred. All right. Now we have gifts for the fathers. Now, fathers, I would like to tell you this. This is a gift card to Little Caesar's Pizza. And when you go in there, you ask for a large one-topping pizza, and it's free. But if you want more on it, you have to pay. Okay, now, while they're passing out the Father's Day gifts, I have some little jokes that I would like to read out to you. Dad, are butt bugs good to eat? Asked the little boy. Let's not talk about such things at the dinner table, son, his father replied. At the dinner, the father replied, now, son, what did you want to ask me now? He said, oh, nothing, Dad. He says, there was a bug in your soup, but now it's gone. All right, science teacher said, when is the boiling point reached? The science student raised his hand. He says, when my father sees my report card. Now, four men were in the hospital waiting room because their wives are having babies. A nurse goes up to the first guy and says, congratulations, you're the father of twins. Well, that's all, answered the man. I work for the Minnesota Twins. A nurse says to the second guy, Congratulations, you're the father of triplets. Wow, that's weird, the second man said. I work for 3M Company. A nurse tells the third man, congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets. Well, that's strange, he answers. I work for Four Seasons. The last man started banging his head against the wall and groaning. What's wrong, girls ask. He says, I work for 7-Up. What do you call your dad when he falls through the ice? Beats me, a popsicle. And then I would like to say, for those of you that receive Amanda and Kyle and Amanda's prayer letter, Kyle had a cute little thing down at the bottom of his prayer letter, and it was about Jackson, his 7-year-old son. And he made the comment that even a little boy of 7 years old, still the man comes out in him sometimes. And the story was that Amanda had been real sick in bed, and so she was very contagious, and she didn't want Jackson to get what she had. So she told Jackson, she said, Jackson, I'm real sick, darling. She says, and I don't want you to come around me because it's very contagious, and I don't want you to get what I have. And he bust out a crying. He was just boo-hooing. And she's thinking to herself, oh, he wants to be with his mommy. He said, no, mommy, who's going to cook for me? That's all, Pastor.
Get rid of the ugly.